add us. So we're talking about the miracles of Jesus, and I'll be talking about, you know, in specific about some of them and show you how he did those miracles and how you can get those miracles or how you can receive those miracles now. Amen. Amen, church. Right. So, we're going to do. Going to just reduce that. Yeah, is that good? All right. So, first question is this. What are miracles? I think that's easy. What are miracles? We're going to talk about the miracles of Jesus or the miracle working Jesus. What is a miracle? Let's start with the children first. What is a miracle?
When Jesus heals people or he does something amazing that a person cannot do.
Yes, when he healed people or when he does something amazing. It's like if he does like, what do you call it? When you somersault. When the footballer somersaults in celebration. Backflip. Is that amazing? Yeah? Is a backflip amazing? Is a backflip a miracle?
No.
All right. That's a good answer. Anybody can improve on that? When Jesus heal people or he does something amazing. Yes?
It's doing.
Okay. Don't worry. Let's leave it. Maybe the battery is gone. I'll try that. Yes?
It's like, for instance, it could be helping someone, but
it's, when you help someone, is it a miracle?
You help them in a way that like nobody else could do it. Like it's
looking for the word. Yes, I know what you're trying to say.
It's a positive action out of the supernatural.
Okay, a positive. Yeah, that word is important. A positive action of the supernatural. You know why positive is important? Do you know that the devil can also do miracles? Did you know that? Did you? Anybody disagree? Yeah? Okay, let's have some more answers. Yes, I'm getting my answers. What is a miracle? Yeah, good. Audit.
Making impossibility impossible.
Making something impossible what? Possible. That's a miracle. Although sometimes magicians also do. Usually they play tricks on you, isn't it? Yes? Any? Okay, let's go to adults. I will stop there for time.
No, I was going to say, an act of God. So the
impossible, an act of God.
The impossible made possible. And,
okay.
And the only thing you can say, this is God.
Only,
this
is absolutely. Not absolutely. Let me just do something now. Like a disclaimer. Do you know that, for example, insurance companies, when things like earthquakes, tsunamis, and what, volcanoes, all these things, they call them acts of God. Did you know that? Are they acts of God? That's another question. An earthquake, a tsunami, a volcano. Yeah, what else? What else happens? What? A tornado, a storm. Is it an act of God? Let's have some, give your answer and the reason. Okay? That's a second question. When disasters happen, like earthquake, tornadoes, storm, tsunami, are they acts of God? Because insurance companies call them acts of God. Yes?
No, because God is love and he would not do
something. So where did they come from?
The devil and his demons.
The devil and his demons.
The sky.
The sky, yeah. Any other answer? Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, volcanoes. What is the cause? Is it an act of God? And if yes, why? If not, where? See, I don't want to run away from all these theological questions. Very important. Okay? When you finish, you pass it, you're done.
Okay. Some of them are like consequences of actions we've like affected on.
Consequences of?
Like our actions on the...
Consequences of... Say, I didn't get that.
Consequences of our actions on the environment.
Of man's action. Yes? Some disasters that happen in life are consequences of man's action or inaction. Yeah? Not all. Yes?
I would say they are mostly an act of God because God allowed them. If you go back to the Bible, when God when God, going back to the time of when God decided to end the world using humans didn't believe that that would happen, and God sent one of his disciples to tell everyone this is going to happen. So they didn't believe. So natural disasters, I believe, they are acts of God, because sometimes these things happen for God to let us know he's still on the throne. So many of these things happen just so that we know that God is still on the throne. Because we need to believe that there's a God somewhere.
We're still exploring this classical. That's the second question. So, for example, when Hitler murdered, how many Jews now? 6 million? Is it 6 million? Yeah, 6 million Jews. Did God allow it? Yeah, God allowed it. Anything that happens in this world, God allows it. Am I right? Yeah? God allows you to sleep and to wake up. He allows you to choose your breakfast. But Hitler murdering 6 million Jews, was that an act of God? Or was it the will of God? Yeah, it's an act of man. God allows it. So, it's a good answer. I just want to explore it. The fact that God allows something does not mean it's his will. Amen? God allows things according to rules. And one of the main rules of life is free will or choice. God gave you choice. So, if someone goes out and decides to steal, it's not an act of God, although he allowed it. Amen? And the reason why he allowed it is that he gave free will. And there will be consequences. Okay? Now, it is possible, for someone to go out to steal, but God to protect you from your goods being stolen. According to some other rules, if you follow. But I say, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? So God allows everything. But that doesn't mean it's his will. And there are some things that God does not allow in some people's life, because they submitted to his will. You see what I'm trying to say? So it's not that simple. It's not that trivial. Okay? You're allowed to break the traffic light. But you can do it. But if you do it, and you get caught, you will. You read the consequences. Okay? So, yes. Acts of God because God allowed. But it's not really act of God because something else is causing it. And according to some specific rules, God can come in or God cannot. So God does not step in into everything because he gave us free will. But if we allow God in our lives to rule, he can step in and prevent disasters. Okay? Questions? I know I'm going to open up more questions because it's a classical theological question.
I kind of like natural disasters. So imagine a big, massive, massive flood. Caused obviously by natural rain, and then everything's flooded. So that's a natural disaster, rather than saying, "Oh, this is an act of God," and now everyone's drowned. Like,
yes, it's a good one. Just like what Bertin said, it's a bit complex. Let me just explain. In the days of Noah, God Himself sent the flood to judge them. So God has the prerogative according to specific rules. So if God wants to judge people for their sins, but you see, it's still not an act of God. It was their sins that opened the door for that consequence. So let's assume that those people did not sin and disobey God. Yeah, there will be no flood. Can you see? So though God sent the flood to destroy them, but they caused it. Can you see what I'm trying to say? So meaning that if they did it, if they were in obedience, there will be no flood. Okay? So yes, God not just allowed it. In that case, God sent it. But it was in response to their disobedience. But the other one you said, you're right, because if there's a flood, it's rain. So, it's a natural disaster, yes. Is it an act of God or not? Well, the question I'd like to say is this. The world we are living in is broken because of sin. Now, when people come and say, oh, well, why did this person die? Why did this? Will there be a flood? All those innocent people. I'm trying to say, nobody's innocent. Bible says, all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. In the sense that most of the people trying to blame God are not submitted to God. So that means they've allowed the devil. So basically, if most of the world is not submitted to God, Bad things will happen because another God is ruling. Do you understand me? It's a consequence of free will. If the whole world decides today to submit to God, yeah, evil will be over. And that will happen. Amen? That will happen. Not in a long distance. There will be a 1,000-year reign where Jesus will rule this earth and there will be no evil reigning. And in all of eternity, it will be paradise still on earth and there will be no evil. But so long people are not submitting to God now, it opens the door to evil, disaster, and demons. Are you with me? The lack of submission of human beings to God and the will of God is what opened the door to evil, disaster, and demons. But if you are a true believer and you are in submission to God and you are following what God is telling you, He can protect you from the evil in this world. Are you with me? So I may not be able to stop the disaster. I mean, someone say, an earthquake hit Indonesia. If everybody in Indonesia submitted to God, earthquake will not hit Indonesia. Are you with me? If they all submitted and all obeyed what God was telling them, it will not. In fact, if it had to happen at all, God will tell them to move before it happened. Are you with me? So, something happened in California. If everybody in California submitted to God, that will not hit them. So my job then as a human being that in life, I should walk in obedience and in submission to God. I should listen to what He's telling me. I can avoid disaster. I can avoid evil. Amen? Because I am in submission to Him. Someone say, but I'm a Christian and this happened. Sean, can you go to this side? I'm a Christian and this happened. Yeah? Even as a Christian, you need to submit to what God is telling you. So for example, let's assume that I want to go out now and I want to go to Oak Ridge to visit my sister. But God wants me to go to Beggarwood to see, but that was not in my plan. You know, it didn't even make sense. Maybe my sister said, I'll prepare a nice lunch for you, but I know maybe brother is like, oh, brother is too busy. No lunch. Now, the Holy Spirit is telling me, don't go to Oak Ridge, go to Beggarwood. In that obedience is also my protection. See, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. But in my obedience to what God is telling me is my protection. Now, if I go to Oak Ridge, instead of where God told me to go, you don't know what could happen, not in the person's house, but on the way. Because God told me to go elsewhere. Are you with me? So, in this world, Jesus said, we will have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So if I want to overcome the world, I need to follow Jesus closely. I need to obey what he's telling me. Amen? That's where my protection is. Because God allows a lot of things. And you know why he allows them? He gave us free will. Oh, but someone said, why did God give you free will? Would you rather be a robot? Would you rather be a robot? You know? Who cannot love, who can have no say, nothing. Yeah? There's no life. There's no enjoyable life without free will. Are you with me? So God was not being wicked when he gave us free will. But when our free will is not submitted to God, the consequence is bad things. Okay? Thank you everybody that has answered. There was no wrong answer. We were just exploring the theological issue there. Ryan, I give you 50p for your answer that miracles is healing and other amazing things. Andrew, I give you the other 50p because you said, when God makes the impossible possible. And for the other answer, what was your answer again, Audrey?
The consequence of our actions on the earth.
Yeah, consequence of man's actions, okay? And then Bratin said, yes, but God allows everything. Both are right. We just need to put it in. When we merge it together, we have the meaning. God allows, but things happen in consequence of man's action or inaction. Okay? So, I give that prize to you and Bratin. 50-50. Put your hands together for them four. Okay, let's move on. I hope you've learned something today. So, miracle is a supernatural intervention. When God comes into our lives to intervene into a physical situation and he turns it around. Yeah? in a way that no ordinary man can. That's what?
A miracle.
When there's a difficulty that on paper is not possible.
See what I mean?
On paper, you put all the dust together, it's not going to work. Yeah? And then God steps in and does the extraordinary. What is it? It's a miracle. And I'm saying this, that's why even when on paper something looks impossible, does not mean you should stop believing God. Amen? There are people that have gone to the doctors and they told them, we've tested your body, by everything we tested, you can never have a child. And then, even without using any IVF or whatever, they found out they were pregnant. Amen? That's what? A miracle. If God could get a 90-year-old woman, you know, pregnant. Yeah? So what is impossible with God? That's a miracle. Amen? When people have told you, you can never make it. Yeah? And you make it. What is it? It's a miracle. Amen? When there's a, if there's a, it's a health problem, people have said, you know, you're going to die. And then the Lord raises you up. What is it? It's a miracle. Some people even maybe in the past or unknown to you have tried to place a curse on your life. Yeah? And they think you cannot, you just be rubbish. And then you prosper right before them. What is that? A miracle. When somebody who is a hardened criminal or a hardened sinner, they repent and they get born again. And God starts using them to do good things. What is that? It's a miracle. God always does miracles. For God is not a new thing. That's who God is. In fact, when God created the world out of nothing, what was that? A miracle. So I say, oh, no, what do you mean? How can God create the world out of nothing? And then they would give you their own version of creation. That actually, it was a stardust. Yeah? That it was a star died. Yeah? To give you life. See, that's a big lie of the devil. Yeah? You understand? That's a big lie of the devil. For you to believe in evolution, yeah, you need a miracle. You understand? Because out of nothing, yeah, an atom, the world came without any supernatural force. Yeah? That's absolutely intelligence upside down. Sorry? Yeah, do you have something to say? Yeah? Amen? When you're trying to be wise, you can become foolish. Amen? Yes? Do you have something to say? Oh, no. Okay. Amen? So you see, the evolutionists said that God did not create the world. And then they give you their own version. That somewhere, yeah, there was a liquid soup that suddenly became alive. Hello? And then it started in the ocean. And from the liquid soup, you have fishes and whatever. And finally, you came from an ape. Now, that takes a miracle because actually, they never observed it. Yeah? Of course, they can't observe because they tell you it takes millions of years, which nobody can observe. Hello? But I choose to believe in a God. A miracle working God. When he creates the world, it's no big deal. That's who he is. Amen? He does miracle. Amen? I remember a song we sing. We have a miracle working God. He's a miracle working God. He's the Alpha. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's a miracle working God. Amen. Okay, let me just run through the miracles of Jesus. We just touched some of them. So the first miracle, he went to a wedding feast and the drink ran out. Amen? By the way, it's not alcoholic drink. If it's alcohol, you will see evidence that they got drunk. Amen? If you drink alcohol, you must, after a while, after 3 cups, what will happen? Fernando, someone who has drunk 3 cups of wine, full. Yeah? Although I think it depends on the person, isn't it? Some people are very, very strong. 3-4 cups, what will happen to them?
You start to get a bit drunk.
Yeah, they get tipsy. And before you know it, they may jump into the ocean. Okay. So that is not the point of that miracle. You need to understand. The point is this. When you're in a feast, what are the two elements of a feast? You need good food and what? And good drink. You see, wine is a general word for what you get from the vine. You plant a vineyard. Yeah? Vineyard. You get grape. So a wine press is when you press the grape and you get drink. So when you get in a original form, that's drink for party. You may not decide to process it further. Yeah, whatever you decide. But the basic definition is the drink from the vine. And you are now in the wedding phase, the drink has run out. Yeah, it's like party is over, isn't it? And Jesus comes and brings sweet drink back into our lives. And the meaning of that miracle is that your life may look like the wine has gone. You know, the sweetness has gone. You know, the element of celebration and enjoyment has gone. But Jesus comes in and he renews everything. You know, and sometimes in the marriage, you know, the love may have been dying. But Jesus comes in and he brings a fresh flame. Amen. Sometimes, you know, in your job, it may look like, you know, you're about to lose your job or even lost a job. Jesus comes back and gives you a better job. That's a miracle. Okay? So, I just wanted to skip that. I want to tell you about another miracle of Jesus, and I will ask some questions on this. Ah, okay. Let's do this. So, Jesus performed other miracles. One evening, he and his disciples went to Peter's house. Who was Peter? Yeah, he was one of the first, he was actually the leader. And his Peter's mother was, mother-in-law actually, it's not his mother, it's mother-in-law, that's the mother of his wife, was sick with a fever. So what did Jesus do? Did he take her to the hospital? No. Why didn't he take her to the hospital? Why didn't Jesus take Peter's mother-in-law to the hospital?
They did not have a hospital.
You know what he said? He said they didn't have a hospital. Do you believe that? No, they had physicians. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She has spent many of her money on all the physicians. They had doctors. Yes? Why didn't Jesus take her to the hospital? Anybody? Think. No, it's not about paying. Why didn't he take her to the hospital? Think about it. You will learn something.
Because Jesus,
Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus and his wife were there. But he didn't take her to the hospital. Why? Thank you. That's a simple answer. Let me take a kid. But that's the answer. Yes? Yes? Why didn't Jesus take Peter's money to the hospital? The first thing.
Because Jesus has like the faith and the ability to heal.
Yes. It's not just he had the power. Amen. He had what? The power. Now, what you don't know is that same Jesus lives in you. Amen. Hey, hello. If you believe that Jesus lives in you, put up your hand. If you believe that you have power over sickness and disease and over demons, put up your hand. Okay, put it down. You have to believe it. You have to believe it and then take a step of faith. Amen? Don't cry. If something shows up in your life, don't think you are dying. In fact, some people don't just think it, they say it. Don't say it. Believe that Jesus, does Jesus live in you? Yes. It's the same Jesus that raised Peter's mother-in-law. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the hospital. I'm not saying don't go to what? In fact, go as quick as you can if you believe that that's the only solution. Amen? If you believe that that's the only solution, run there. But I want you to understand that that is not your only solution. The power of Jesus is in you. And you should be willing to try it. Amen? Be willing to try. If something is oppressing your life, take the name of Jesus and start commanding it. This is not praying to the God. Say, God, deliver me. That's a different one. This is Jesus. I'll show you that later. Let's move on. So what did Jesus do? Did he pray? Did he pray to God? Did Jesus pray to God? Why didn't he pray to God?
Say that again.
Because he is God.
Yes, but there are other times he prayed to the Father. Yes? Yes? Why didn't Jesus pray to God?
Because he already had the authority.
Because he had the authority. When you have the authority, you use it. Amen? When you have the authority, what do? You use it. If you see a sign now that the devil is oppressing you, there's a time to pray to God and say, God, deliver me. There's another time for you to speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, leave my body, leave my life. Amen? You can do it. And sometimes, until you start doing it yourself, you will not see the result you desire. Because you have been given the authority. You just need to acknowledge that it's yours. Amen? If you begin to believe, it's a believing problem. Amen? You don't believe that you have it. You believe that God has it. And God should do it. Like I showed you before, God doesn't do everything. God allows things, but he doesn't do what? There are some problems in your life that you are not solving them because you are leaving it to God to use the authority he gave you to use. Yeah? And you see that and say, oh, why didn't God do it? It's because he gave you the authority already. And he wants you to use that authority. He wants you to resist the devil. He wants you to say, no, Satan, get behind me. Are you with me? God will not do that for you because he gave you the authority already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus touched that woman. And what happened? The Bible says the fever left her. Amen. And what did she do? She prepared them a nice meal. I like that one. Hallelujah. Let me do one more. The part I'm really going to. I wanted to explain, you know, how to take authority. Who said to me today that Jesus already had the power? Yes. Two of you. We're moving. Now, I want to talk about how Jesus dealt with demons. So, different people came to Jesus. People were sick. People were blind. People were deaf, dumb, crippled. Even people with demons living in them cried out to Jesus. And I was able to help them. Because he's God's son. Who said God's son today? Who said Jesus is the son of God? Come on. Was it you, Kevin? He is God. He's not just God's son. He's God. People, some people who had skin disease. And he healed them all. And look at what he did. He said, men and women with demons stood before Jesus. He commanded the demons to leave them. And as the demons obeyed, fearful, unhappy people became calm and joyful. Let's open our Bible. I'm finishing now in 5 minutes. Matthew, I want to explain that part to you clearly. Ask some questions and I'll finish there. Matthew chapter 9. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 9. I want to show you something, you know, that you need to see again. Matthew 9, we're looking at verse 27 to verse 33. No, actually, no. I will focus on 32. Matthew 9, 32 to 33. Okay, someone who has not read today. Matthew 9, 32 to 33. Please follow your Bible. I want to show you something important there.
When they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. So Jesus cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said...
Let me just explain that part to you. Someone else read it from another version. Matthew 9. 32 and 33, because you need to understand what's going on there. Please read.
As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel.
Amen. Okay, before we explain that, let's read one more place. Mark 16, verse 17. I read it earlier. Someone else, Mark 16, 17. And I want to tie it together and how to operate it in your life. Mark 16, 17. Yes? Yes, you don't have it. Who has it? Mark 16, 17. Please read it and we will tie it together.
These miraculous signs we accompany.
These miraculous signs we accompany who? Jesus.
Those who believe.
These miraculous signs we accompany those who?
Who believe.
Now, please, if you believe in Jesus and you know that you are born again, put up your hand. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life. That's the meaning. You've made him the Lord, the number one. You've handed over your life to Jesus and you have made him your Lord. Put up your hands. Amen?
Amen.
That means you qualify. Say, I qualify. You believe. It's never going to get better than that. If you are waiting for a vision, for an angel to not tell you that, you are one of those who believe, you will not get it. Amen? Few only people will get that. What you will get is what God said. If you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you believe. And this sign will follow you. Say this signs. Follow me. Now say your name. Ben. Hallelujah. You need to believe it. You have to believe it. Yes, continue.
They will cast out demons in my name.
They will cast out what? Demons in my name. Let's stop there. That's okay. Give it to me. So, the very first sign. Come. The very first sign that will follow those who believe is what? What's the first sign that they follow those who believe? Cast out demons. That means that if we want to start checking people who believe, what's the first sign we should check in their life? Whether they are able to deal with demons. But I want to change your mind today. Many times you think demons is just what make people, you know, cry, shriek, you know, insane. Yes, they are. But those are advanced level. They are what? Advanced level. You see, when this man came and was dumb, the dumb man, could he speak? So, who told Jesus that he had a demon? In the physical, you know, he was not violent. He was not shouting. Yeah? He was not behaving funny. He could not speak. Probably he was even very shy. Amen? What they did was to bring it to Jesus and say, Jesus, heal this man. He's dumb. Are you with me? But why didn't Jesus, you know, in that case of Peter's mother-in-law, he put his hand on her and the fever left her. That was healing. But why, you see, in this case, Jesus did not put his hand and say, be healed. Hello? There are some sickness or some problems that are just natural. Something is broken. It needs to be healed. So in those cases, you need what? Healing. Amen? Something is not functioning properly. It needs to function properly. You need what? Healing. But there was also that's half the time. The other half of the time, nothing was wrong with that thing. It was a demon who came to sit on it. Hello? If these demons are not that important, that will not be the first sign he said. He said the first sign that will follow us is what? We will. When I say cast out, I don't think that's the best way to translate it. Go when you think cast out, you're thinking of somebody possessed. No. He's talking about you will expel them. You will tell them, get off my leg. Get off my stomach. Get off my skin. Get off my mind. So half the people that are in depression is a demon. I say half, please don't misunderstand me. They are people in depression just because of what has happened to them or whatever. Yeah? Some people, there's such a thing called clinical depression where hormones are just imbalanced and people feel low. There can be medical depression. But the best assumption is assume that that's half the time. The other half, a demon is sitting over their mind. Are you with me? Now, if in those cases, if all I'm doing is praying, be healed, it's not working. Because it wasn't healing they needed. They needed the demon to be expelled. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. This man was dumb. If you brought the man to me, say, Pastor, what will I do? I'll carry anointing or and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. But that will not solve the problem. Because it was not a natural dumbness. For example, a natural dumbness can come if maybe the tongue is, you know, tied or something. It was a demon. A demon is an evil spirit. Do you understand? Sitting on it. That's why he said one of the first things that will follow those who believe is that they will cast out what? Demon. So Jesus knew by the spirit inside, a design, that a demon was the one at work. Are you with me? And that's why he had to cast out that demon. You know how he cast out demon? Shall I tell you? He just said, "You demon or spirit of dumbness, come out." Amen? You don't need to know the specific name of a demon. Don't go searching. You know them by their fruit. The way they present is how we name them. Amen? They are demons of hatred. Some people, they hate people special. Have you met any of them? They are struggling with it. They have hatred in them. It's not, you yourself will say this is unnatural. If it looks unnatural, it is what? It's unnatural. The demon sitting there. In the name of the demon is hatred. And it's sitting over them, over their mind, holding them bound to that hatred. They can't help it. Are you with me? Such people, it's not enough to counsel them. They need that hatred cast out. Are you with me? There are some, there are demons of resentment. There are demons of depression. There are demons of immorality. There are demons of sickness and disease. Yeah? Even this disease called cancer, which we have to assume that half of it is a demon. The organ is okay, but they sit on it. Are you with me? And so in one case, they need healing. In another case, they need to be cast out. Are you with me? And don't misunderstand. I'm not saying those people are possessed. They are not possessed. Some of these people, they are believers. But the demon is sitting in a part of their life, oppressing them there. Are you with me? And the reason why that demon remains is that they've not recognized that this is the activity of the enemy. They think it's just them. It's not just them. If you are dominated and you can't help something, there's an external force. Amen? Now, how do you deal with it? Jesus said, "You spirit of dumbness, I command you, come out." Amen? So, this is what I do for myself. If anything in my life that I've applied the normal techniques to is not working. You understand? Yeah? There are people that are very difficult. And it's demons making them to cause trouble. Not everybody, please. Don't go suspecting people. Don't go say, "Ah, you have a demon." But when a problem is intractable, we need to begin to take authority and speak to those spirits by their name. Amen? And say, "You spirit of infirmity, I command you, leave my body." Some people are contending with lust. There's human lust, but there's also a spirit. When it's dominating, say, "You spirit of love, leave my body." Because immediately that demon left, the man what? Spoke. So there was no problem with his tongue. It was a demon. Okay, we're going to round up there. Let me just make one or two points now. And say that one of the reasons why demons can operate and put people in oppression or bondage, I'm not talking about possession, please don't misunderstand me. Yeah? There are times, for example, if I find something happening in my body, I've applied the treatment, I've applied my faith, it's not working, I need to suspect an external force. Yeah? It's like demons are like birds. Actually, the Bible actually gives a description. Demons are like birds. You know, the Bible says that the sower sowed the seed and the birds came and by the wayside. And the Bible now interpreted it that the devil came and stole the word. Demons are like birds. A bird can perch. If he finds space. Amen? In fact, if you are so still and not moving, a bear can perch on your head. Do you agree? Or if you have food, if you have some breadcrumbs on your head and you go to Trafalgar Square, the pigeons can come and... Do you agree? So, one of the things that open doors for demons to oppress or afflict is when we are gone off doing the wrong thing. You know, like for example, unforgiveness can open that door. If you don't forgive people, it can. Exposing yourself to the wrong things can open that door. You know, if you expose. Are you going, honey? Okay, bye. Bye, Mike. See you again. Carelessness, you know. Sometimes occultic material can. That's why you need to be careful. The type of, you know, jewelry you use, not every jewelry is ordinary. There are some jewelries that are gateway. If it doesn't look okay, it's not okay. You understand? There are some decorations. There are some artwork. You know, Bible says that should not make for yourself any graven image. So what, there are some artwork. You should look at them very well, because not all is ordinary. Some are, but not all. Are you with me? The way I would look at it, I would say 50% ordinary, 50% is not. So I don't want to open a gateway. You understand? Now, people who consult mediums are also opening doors. If you consult a medium, a soothsayer, a palm reader, tarot reader, horoscope, these are all gateways for the birds to come and perch. So if you want to expel a demon from your life, you need to first of all renounce and repent of the door you might have opened. Especially if you can identify it. Are you with me? Because if you don't close the door, you can only chase the demon away. The door is open, it will come back. But when it comes, it may come back with more. Amen? So we need to close the door. Where we've missed it, we need to say, Lord, you know, identify it and repent of it. Sometimes it's not you that missed it. It could be a parent. A child comes to a parent. So if a parent does something wrong, they can open a door to the child. For example, we look like our parents. See what I mean? We look like our parents, so we inherit some things from them, both physically and spiritually. So where they have opened doors and we know it, we need to renounce it in prayer and say, God, I repent and I dissociate myself from all these that have been done before me. I reject them, I renounce them, I refuse them, and I repent of them. Can you see? That way I'm closing the door. Amen? So, if we don't close the door, your command to tell the demon to go away may not work. But when the doors are closed, when you've renounced them, you have full right now. Say, get out of my body. Amen? So then I say to myself, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You, infection, leave! Amen? You have an infection, you've used medicine, it's not going. Then you need to suspect it. Amen? You've used medicine that should make solve. It's not going. So you have to then change gear. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up and pray. I believe that the Lord wanted to teach you something in that area today. And what we need to begin to do now is, I want us just meditate on your life. Let's start it from here. Let's not postpone it. But I believe that 2019 we're going to see outstanding miracles. Things that have not given way, they will begin to give way. Yeah? They will begin to give way in 2019. Problems that have not given way, they will give way in 2019. In the name of Jesus Christ. So while you are still here, just look at your life. Is anything you need to repent of or renounce? The big word is renounce. Dissociate yourself. Find anything that is manifesting in your life or in your home that you don't like. Call it by his name. So his name is what? The symptom. And call it the spirit of so-so. I renounce you. Go ahead and do that. You don't need to shout. You don't need to shout. You spirit of infirmity. You spirit of lust. You spirit of hatred. You spirit of bitterness. You spirit of unforgiveness. I renounce you in the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of sickness, of disease. Call his name, whatever his name. I renounce you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that those who believe in my name, they will expel demons. So in Jesus' name right now, as I renounce you, I'm commanding you, leave my body. If you are suffering from occasional depression, you know that this is not just a matter of unhappiness that something happened. You know that this thing is like a force coming against you. I want you to begin to renounce it. If there's a sin you've committed in the past, that you know it still bothers your mind, I want you to repent of it and renounce it. Renounce them, and then begin to command and say, you spirit of depression, I'm commanding you right now, leave my mind. Act. You are a believer. Speak. All you need to do is issue the command, and you will have the release in the name of Jesus Christ.